been praying, and Tim's agreed, and we had a long, long talk the other night, and he's going to come in and step in, and I talked to the board about it earlier, and everybody was in agreement. He's going to help me with Sunday school. He's going to help me with the superintendent. We're going to start. I've had a burden. I've talked about it for a long time, and he's going to help me. We'll probably be doing some reorganizing, some different programs, some different things. We're also going to incorporate the children's church in through this also. And so we're going to, things may be a little different for a while. We're going to back off and revamp, reorganize, look at it a different way. We're organizing for the future. And we want some things, and we're going to go and prepare and get ready. And when the Lord sees fit to bless and send the abundance of children, we'll be ready. We'll be organized and ready to go. And so that is where I wanted just to let y'all know. And if Tim comes and walking around and peeking his head in your Sunday school class, he may be doing that. I don't know. But that's the way I did it. And it's probably the way he'll do it. And when we come to you, we'll start setting up and having some meetings. We'll probably meet so often, I don't know yet, but we will talk about things and try to organize and strengthen, work together. Does that sound like a pretty good plan? Amen. Amen. We thank you. Appreciate you so much. If you would turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 8. I want to talk about this morning a little bit about being free. I like the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, boy, but I like the freedoms we enjoy as Christians. I like freedom. One title of the message is Free Indeed. And if you would stand with me, John chapter 8. We'll start at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless this time, bless this passage, bless this message. Lord, I pray for your touch on the old preacher boy, that you'd clear my mind. Lord, did there be anything in my heart that I need forgiven for? Lord, you'd forgive me. And Lord, I'm unworthy, but I pray you'd make me usable. God, that you'd just use it at this time, and you'd use it to strengthen us as Christians. And Lord, if there be any that don't know you, it's in a backslidden condition, this would be the time that you would speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've not turned it on yet, Brother Ray. Sorry about that. Amen. You know, prisoners really want and yearn for freedom. They want to be freed. And folks that's enslaved by sin also the same way needs to be freed from their sin. They want to be free. And Jesus tells us here that we have freedom. The statement that he made and the statement that we see is know the truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, and Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in John 13:8, Pilate had said unto Jesus, What is truth?
In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto them, Art thou a king? Jesus said, answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate said, it was so funny or strange, he said, What is truth? And of course he was in that time, Pilate, of the Romans. And all of these philosophers, and I spent a little time yesterday looking at some things, and boy, I tell you what, this was a deep, deep subject in that day. This was, all the philosophers and all the different people had their ideal and their philosophy of what truth really was. And Jesus sparked, and I think he was really trying to get into Pilate's heart. And he said that he was the truth. Pilate said, What is truth? But the thing about it, and I'm so afraid that we, as so many people in the world today, and maybe even us as Christians, we hit something and we go on. If you look at that passage, he said, What is truth? And then he left. He got away from it. He never gave Jesus the opportunity to expound what truth really was. He never really gave him the opportunity to say and go through some things. And I'm so afraid that in the world today, we want answers, but we don't want to wait around, and we don't go to the right source to get it, do we? And because if you want truth, if you're looking for truth, I'm here to tell you where you can get 66 books of it. See, Jesus is the truth. And truth's not an abstract concept, it's a reality. It's not a big line of philosophy, and you got to do this and you got to do that. It is a reality that Jesus answered. And he said that he came to the world to bear witness of the truth. We live in a world today where we need truth. You got people pointing at each other. They're lying. No, they're lying. And it's this back and forth. And you don't know where the truth is anymore. I don't believe nothing I hear, and only this part of what I see. Amen. We're in a world where truth has been shunned and done away and stomped under the feet. You can't. And there used to be a day to where if you was conducting business and two men was conducting business, it was a handshake and that's it. Right. Now this day, if you do any business, you got to have a whole list of lawyers and you got to have all these papers drawn up, because one of them's going to try to take the other one to the cleaners. We need truth in our lives. We need truth in the nation, United States of America, and we need truth in the churches. We need it truthful. We need the message of the gospel in our churches, and there's so many people that stands behind the pulpit and reads something other than the Word of God. And if we want the truth is right here in the Word of God. And there's one thing about it, it'll set you free. I printed some stuff off. I want to read a couple of things that, see, in a postmodern world that denies that truth can be known, the question is more important than ever to the answer, what is truth? See, postmodernism believes that there is no absolutes. There is no moral absolutes, and there is no absolute truth. Everything is gray instead of black and white. And relativism has come in. And what it is that we believe, a lot of beliefs is that what's right for me, the truth for me may not be truth for you. Amen? And that is where we are, that truth may be different to you than it is me. In defining truth, I found this yesterday. In defining truth, it's first helpful to know what truth is not. See, truth is not simply this whatever works. This is the philosophy of pragmatism, an ends versus means approach. It lies to appear, if it works, then it's got to be the truth. Something can work and still be a lie. Truth's not simply what is coherent or understandable. A group of people can get together and form a conspiracy and it be based on a lie. Truth's not what makes people feel good. Unfortunately, bad news can be true. I got hit with a truth that I wasn't ready for at 15 minutes till 5 Monday morning. Probably other than my brother, the closest friend that I've got in this world, I probably referred to him as a brother. His wife called and said, something bad's happened to Harry, and he's down at the Laughlin Hospital, and it may be too late. And sure enough, it was that a heart attack or something hit him about 4:30 in the morning, and before by 5 o'clock he was probably dead. See, that was the truth. It sure wasn't good news. Truth is not what the majority says. 51% can believe a lie. The Bible says that God didn't go so far, said I'll let them believe a lie and be damned. And that's where we are, isn't it? I believe God's letting people believe and buy into some of this mess that they really believe, and that they're buying into a lie that'll damn their souls to hell. And truthness not really is what's believed. It don't matter. Well, I don't believe that. It don't matter if we believe it or not. The truth's the truth, and the lie's a lie. And truth is not what's publicly proved. A truth can be privately known. For example, the location of a buried treasure. It's not publicly known, but it's the truth. They some buried treasure somewhere, aren't they? Or they say they are, but just of those things, thinking the Greek word for truth is aletheia, which means to unhide or hide in nothing. The Hebrew word for truth is emeth, which means firmness and consistency and duration. See, you're thinking about these things. It was said that Pilate evidently never came to the knowledge of the truth. Eusebius, as a historian and bishop of Caesarea, records the fact that Pilate ultimately committed suicide during the reign of the emperor Caligula. A sad ending is a reminder for everyone that ignoring the truth always leads to undesired consequences. Amen? So we're looking and thinking this morning, and I wanted to share this with you a minute and to get our minds kind of going in a certain way. And Jesus is here talking about that reason he came to this world was to bear witness of the truth. And the truth is, as without his blood being shed on Mount Calvary and us accepting it into our lives to forgive us of our sins, that we have no hope of eternal life in heaven. See, the truth sets us free from the consequences of sin. Sets us free from self-deception. See, if I believe and read this word and I believe it and I apply it to my life, then I've got a less chance of believing a lie myself and it tripping me up and me coming up with some kind of falsehood. And then when I believe this word, trust it, depend upon it, read it, study it, I've less chance of Satan deceiving me. I know a little bit more about who he is. I know a little bit more about his tricks. I know a little bit more of what his name describes who he is. And then I put up, as we went through and preached through spiritual warfare, we seen that we was able to put up some defenses and learn more about him and not be deceived by him. See, truth, but through Jesus Christ, will set us free from sin's death penalty. See, when Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden, death came upon each one of us and a lot of curses. And I'm so glad that Independence Day is here. In Jesus, we are free indeed. I want us to look at what Jesus said. He said here in verse 31, if you continue in my word, or if you abide in my word, or if you remain in my word, is some of the words here. It's not enough just to receive it. We have to abide in it, to continue in it. And in John 15:3, I want to read, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So it's a decision and the choices that we make if we abide in the truth, or if we continue in the truth. It comes to this if word. That's that little bitty word with great big meaning, isn't it? If. See, it's if is if we abide in his word. Every day we make that choice. We wake up in the morning and we decide what we're going to do and who we're going to follow and if we're going to abide. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. And then here comes the decision. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What it is, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to decide if I'm going to rejoice in it. That's the same way with the Word. It's my choice if I'm going to abide in the Word of God. If I'm going to read it, if I'm going to focus on it, if I'm going to meditate on it, if I'm going to believe it, and if I'm going to apply it to my lives, if I'm going to teach it to the people around me, and I'm going to let it be made known. And the only way that we can do that is if we abide in the Word of God. See, when we abide and continue, that means to learn and apply it to our lives and live it every day. Then he said, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How do ye know something? When you know it, that it means that you get it into your brain, into your thought. But reading and observation, study. See, then we can get it into, when we get it into our minds, and then we get it into our hearts, then we can get it into our spirit to where it'll influence our character, our conduct, our emotions. It'll have a positive influence in our lives. When we read the Word of God, I know I've said this before, but I seen it in a hotel one time, and turn to the front of the Bible, now they've started putting warnings on the front of Bibles. And it said that if you read this and believe that it is the truth, it can have detrimental effects on your life. You know what I said? Glory! Hallelujah! It will affect your life. It will change your life. It will make you different. It'll make your thoughts different. It'll make you talk different. It'll make you dress different. It'll make every part of your makeup, everything that you do, it'll change you, and you won't be like you used to be. They meant that to be demeaning. I take it as a blessing. See, knowledge don't happen by accident. Knowledge comes when we make ourselves available. Now I'm not promoting or demoting or anything, but the Masons. If you join the Masons, you better be ready to study. You got to learn a lot of stuff. And you come in and you learn this stuff. You get knowledge of what they're doing. At the Eastman Chemical, they have got a program called the Apprenticeship Program. You go through that program, and boy, by the time you get out of that program in 2 years, you've got a lot of knowledge on what you're being trained in. College is another way. You get in schools. You train your brain and your mind to a specific, and you learn it. And knowledge comes because we have availed ourselves. And the knowledge of the Word of God is because we have made ourselves available to the Word of God. It is God's holy, infallible, inerrant Word. And you won't hear that everywhere. Then it come on. See, it's in the Word of God. They have tried to prove it by archaeological. They've said, well, we have no, and I forget which group it was, but we have no, nothing ever saying that group of people ever lived, so the Bible's wrong when it called that group out in Genesis. Well, they got to digging around over there. Archaeologists, and they got to dig around, and guess what? They found out there's a group of people there. Guess what they found out is the group that the Bible says it was about. The more that they try to disprove the Word of God, the more they confirm it. Archaeology proves it. Prophecy proves it. 100% of the time, the Bible's prophecy is true. Glory, hallelujah. And you know something else that really proves the Word of God? This probably more than any of them. That you could take, and I forget how many different writers they are, but you could take this many different writers and write what the Lord had given them, and they put it together, and it corresponds the way that it does. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's a fact. You take and everything go together, there is no way. I'll tell you this, I know I've mentioned it. Three of us was in a truck one day coming over the mountain from Asheville, and we sideswiped mirrors. Another truck come over and we hit mirrors. Well, it went on down and called the state trooper, and he came and we gave him a report. One of us said it's a black truck, one of us said it's a blue truck, another said it's a red truck. Honest. Us three sitting right here. Now the black and the blue I can understand, but the red, and I don't know where that can come from. But three people sitting right in the front seat, a truck smacked mirrors, and we seen three different colors of truck. You tell me that the Word of God, that just even the four Gospels, is not so impressive that these four men sat down and wrote and it works right together and fits right together. And you don't think that it don't say when this was done to fulfill the Scripture, and somewhere over in the Old Testament it was just stuck in that they would gamble for his garments. Not a bone would be broke in his body. And this was all done that the Scripture would be fulfilled. Well, glory! Then we see that the truth will make you free. When we know the truth, it liberates us. You know, when it begins to work in our lives, and it sets us free. You know something good about the truth? I just tell you what I really love about the truth is that I don't have to have a real good memory. Amen? If it's a truth and that's all I got and it just flows out and it's a truth, and you might not like it, but it's a truth. If it's a lie, I got to remember what I told you. That's where I'd get in trouble. See, the truth goes to work in our lives and breaks the chains of sin and the curses and habits and deception and all this stuff. The truth works and takes care of all that. Meditating and reading and studying the Word of God, letting it get into our hearts and our minds and into our spirits and just cuts it. The Bible says that it cuts even to the bone, even to the marrow of the bone, and the cinder of thought and intentions of the heart, it cuts right in. And boy, I tell you what, it gets right down there to the nitty gritty. Boy, I like the truth. I used to work with a guy, and bless his heart, loved him to death. But when he told you something, in the back of your mind, you was thinking, now is that the truth? It was a guy that we used to work for, and one of the other guys had, me and him had an issue, and he told our boss, he said, I don't know. Said, I meant to call Tim, but I don't know if he'd talk to me. And he said, oh yeah, Tim will talk to you. He said, now you might not like what he's got to say to you, but he will talk to you. That's kind of the way truth. You really may not like it, but it's the truth. All right, I've got to get on. In the verse 33, it said, and they answered him. See, he came front, forthwith, and this is where it's wrong with the world today, that we won't just accept the truth the way that it is, that we've got to come up with the answer. We've got to come up with our side of the story. We've got to come up if we do this or if we do that, they come up and they had an answer. They answered him. And you know what it is, and today, our answer to the Word of God, is it full of pride and arrogance as the followers of that day? They came up and they said, well, they had an answer. They said, we've never been in bondage to any man. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. Moses, where'd Moses bring them from? What about Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar? What about the Assyrians that come in over and over? They were under Roman bondage when they said that. Amen. That's what Jesus said. You're of your father, the devil, and he's a liar and always has been a liar. See, our answer, hope it's humble and willing to learn and grow. Because if the Word of God and the Holy Spirit moving on our heart convicts us of something, it's how we respond to that is how we're going to carry on in our Christian life. When a preacher says something and it's not real popular and people kind of don't like it, and It's how we respond to it. I'm so glad I had a preacher that had a finger that long and he pointed it right at me. And it stuck right between my eyes and I believed it and took it as the word of God. Amen. That's why I'm where I am today. Amen. Saved and on my way to heaven. Amen. Because the way I responded to the truth. See, Jesus went on to say in verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant to sin. See, sin's a slave master. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we remain captive to it, he went on to say that we will not abide forever. In verse 35, he said, and the servant, whoever committeth sin, is a servant to the sin. Then he said in verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house. See, when we abide in sin and let sin reign and run our lives and we are involved in things that we ought not be, that's contrary to the Word of God, and we let it come into our lives, we become a servant to sin, and the Bible says that we'll not abide in the house of God or in heaven forever. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible's the truth. It's important, folks, that we abstain the very appearance of evil. That we shun sinful amusements. That when the Bible says don't do this and do that, that's what we need to be not doing and doing. The Bible says flee from fornication. That's exactly what the Word of God means. It tells us to not have any other gods. That's exactly what the Word of God means. Boy, and I tell you what, America's got a lot of gods right now. There's a lot of idols that's put up, and a lot of people's going and following them. And I tell you, it's going to lead them right into the pits of hell because the truth said, stay away from that mess. And you look in the Bible and you start reading all the way back through the Old Testament, and every time that Israel got involved in following idols and worshiping false gods and doing things, and they even went as far as sacrificing their children into the fire of Molech and some of these other gods, I tell you what, they have went down the tubes every time they got involved in that. And as America, if we don't get straightened out and quit killing these babies and quit making a saints out of homosexuals and quit doing some of this garbage and nonsense that we're doing, we'll be judged by God Almighty. See, sin makes a slave of us. But Jesus provides independence and freedom from it. Aren't you glad of that? Glory, hallelujah. I don't have to be bound by that mess. I don't have to be bound. I don't have to wake up wanting to drink or wanting to smoke marijuana or wanting to get involved in something that I ought not be. That the Lord's give me liberty from that. Praise the Lord. And then he talks about a son. Said the Son abideth forever. Not only is Jesus saying he offers us sonship. Forgiveness of sin, and we are then adopted into the family of God. Whew, praise the Lord. And then, as a son of God, into the house of God, we're into the house of God forever. What he said, we abide forever. Praise the Lord. That word adoption. I know I'm running a little long. Maybe everybody fried their hamburgers up yesterday. The word adoption comes from a couple different words, and it's Theo's one of them, and I forget the other one. One of them means to be placed into the family as an adult child. In the Hebrew, in the Jewish families, the adult children was eligible for inheritance. And you had to be an adult to be eligible for the inheritance. And when this word, when you adopted into this family, huothesis, that's the word. And when you're adopted in this family, you're not adopted in as a child, you're adopted in as an adult. That means right this minute that you're adopted into the family of God, you're an adult and you're eligible for all the benefits. Glory, hallelujah. You're eligible for all the inheritance and everything that comes with being a son to that family. The Bible says that when we come in, we're then an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. Whatever check Jesus can write, I can write it in his name. Glory, hallelujah. I'm into the family as an adult child, and I can reap all the benefits. Boy, I've been set free. How about you? Then the other part of that word, I was going to go on, but I can't. The other part of that word means that you, not only is it adoption, but through that, by the regeneration of the Spirit of God, then you are actually born into that family. Amen. Blood born. Woo, glory, hallelujah. He can't take that away from us. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, and when we become sons, we're no longer slaves. I'd rather be a son than a slave. How about you? Praise the Lord. And then verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. See, the Son of God has got all authority. He said in Matthew 28. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all authority. And when he gives me liberty, he said, if you, the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen. Now that, let me back up. I don't mean I'm free to go sin.
That's right.
Amen. 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 I'm afraid so many people think that, I've got fire insurance now. I got my sins under the blood. Let's go live it up. I mean, we kind of look funny. Used to look at me like, that's the way a lot of people please. Well, I've been saved. You know, the Bible says that, folks, I'm just, the Lord's hooking me up here. I'm just going to hang in here a minute. The Bible said, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Well, there's none of us in the right mind going to deny Jesus. But we might the way we live.
Amen.
We might the way we live. Does the way we act on Monday mornings deny or admit that we are his? What about Tuesday? What about Saturday night? Is there denying? Is there lifestyle denying? Or is it accepting? And is it acceptable in the eyes of the Lord? It was Tony Evans come up with one of the best analogies. He was a little boy at the fair, and his daddy had him at the fair riding rides, and he'd bought a bunch of tickets. And he gave this boy tickets, and he was going to ride a ride, and another little boy come up and said, sir, can I have a ticket? And he said, no. No, these tickets are for my son, and he's the only one that gets them, and I'm giving them to him. So in a few minutes, the son comes back and brings that same boy with him. And he said, Dad, this is Johnny, and he's my friend, and I want him to ride rides with me. And father said, oh, in that case, in here, it's the tickets. Take them and go. And that's the way that it is with Jesus Christ. If we deny Him, and when we are against Him, we're not going to receive the tickets of benefits, of blessings. We're not going to be able to be blessed and be able to accept and receive all the promises in the Word of God. But if we live a lifestyle that is confessing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can cash in all the spiritual blessings that heaven's got to offer. Praise the Lord. See, it's through Jesus that we get the power. And He empowers all the sons and daughters who believe as we continue to learn and apply the Word of God to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And I'm so thankful today for the Spirit of God. And Lord, that You move and minister in our hearts and our lives. And Father, I thank You for Your moving today. And Lord, I ask You that You would touch each of our hearts. And Lord, that if there's any of us here today, if there be one that has never asked You to come into their heart, has never really said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and make me a new person, Lord, I pray for that in the day, that You would move, that You would draw and You would convict. And Father, it may be some that's asked You into their heart and it's living a denying lifestyle. Maybe not has let some things settle in. Lord, I pray for that in today. And Father, I pray for all of us as Christians, and Lord, that maybe what You've sparked our heart and we want to rededicate ourselves to more reading and studying and applying the Word of God to our lives. More time in prayer. Have a closer walk with You. Be more of what You want in our lives. Lord, that we'd be more obedient to the and yielding to the Holy Spirit, and we'd not grieve the Spirit. And we'd let our light shine in this cold, dark world. Lord, give us greater desire. Give us greater wisdom. Give us greater encouragement, Lord, to do these things. And Father, we love You and we praise You. We thank You, Lord. And have Your way in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.